Mesechta's Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Beis, 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph and Beis, at the new Mishnah, and this Mishnah will talk about the responsibilities of a landlord and a tenant, and the Mishnah states, Hamascha Bais Chaveroi, if Reuven rents his house to Shimon, Hamascha Chaya B'delos B'nagav Menor, V'chol Dov Shemais Uman, the landlord is responsible to make sure that there's a door, as well as taking care of the Naga and Menor, and the Naga is a type of a lock, which was locked from inside, and as Rashi states, Shenolim Bais Hadelos, that they locked the door, and they bolt the door by placing a peg in the threshold. And that type of lock was used when a person was inside the house, and a menol is a lock that was used when a person leaves the house, and it's similar to a padlock. And the landlord is also responsible for any item which is a maisu uman, and which would take a professional to do. However, there's something which is not a maisu uman, that is the responsibility of the tenant. And the Mishnah continues, and the Gemara will discuss this point, but the words of the Mishnah mean that the fertilizer that is produced in the Balabais' chatzah belongs to the Balabais and belongs to the landlord, and the Seicha only has the right to the ashes of different types of ovens and stoves, which was also used as fertilizer. And the Gemara begins, we learned in the Braisa, if a landlord rents a home to a tenant, the landlord is responsible to make sure that there are doors, to open up windows, and to strengthen the ceiling if it deteriorated and became wormy. If any beams break in the house, that he has a responsibility to fix that beam. However, the renter is responsible to make a ladder which will take him up to the rooftop, which generally the rooftop was not used so much, and therefore the tenant is responsible. However, certainly, as the Rishonim point out, the landlord would be responsible to make stairs that would go from the first floor to a second floor, as that is something which is clearly integral to the usage of the home. And the tenant also has to make a mica, because he is the one that will be using the rooftop. And if the landlord would not rent out this house, then no one would use the rooftop, and it would not be a chi of a mica. And he's also responsible to put up gutters on the rooftop. And Rashi explains that the way the gutters were made in those times, all the rooftops were flat rooftops, and they would be smeared with tar, and the rooftop was sloped to all four sides in order that the water should drain off the rooftop, in order to make sure that the water that was flowing off of the rooftop would not drip directly on the walls of the home, which could eventually ruin the walls of the home, and therefore they would place a board and a plank on the edge of the rooftop in order to make sure that the water would not drip on the walls. And when one of these planks would fall off, then a hedya could place it back onto the rooftop, and therefore the owner is not responsible and the tenant is responsible. And similarly, if the rooftop has a leak and has to be tarred again, then it would be the responsibility of the tenant. And the Gemara continues, they ask the following question for Rav Sheshes, mezuzah al mi, who has the responsibility to put up mezuzahs on the home? And the Gemara asks, mezuzah, how can you ask a question about mezuzah? Rav Mishashia stated, mezuzah chayv esadoi, mezuzah the chayv of the person living in the home, and therefore certainly the tenant is responsible. And Rashi in our sugya says the dashin of b'menachas that we learn in Sechtes Menachas, that the pasuk says uchstavtem amezuzas beisecho v'sherecha, and we learn out beisecho derech biyoscha l'mishin nichlas v'yetzela zehadarbar. This is the person that's living there. And ayin in Rashi Sechtes Pesachim on Daf Dalid, where Rashi brings another reason l'fishi mishmerasai, because the mezuzah affords protection to the person living there, and therefore the tenant is responsible to put up a mezuzah. And the Gemara continues that the Talmidim clarified elamakam mezuzah, that our shaila is that who is responsible to prepare the place that the mezuzah has to be go on the doorpost. And Amalu Rav Sheshes, on this shaila, Rav Sheshes responded to Tanasu. We learned in our Mishnah, anything that a layman could do, the tenant is responsible for. Hanging up a mezuzah is not a maisa uman, as efshehu begufta de kanya, as it's possible to place a mezuzah in a reed tube. And of course, that's very easy to take one nail and knock it into the wall. And it seems that the Talmidim's havmina was that the only way to place a mezuzah is by chiseling out part of the doorpost and then inserting the mezuzah into the doorpost itself, and that of course is a maisa uman. However, Sheshi explained that there's no need to do that, and there is no problem of putting a mezuzah into a mezuzah case, and that would not be considered a chatzitza. as that is necessary in order to protect a mezuzah, and therefore it's very easy to place a mezuzah on a doorpost, and the tenant is responsible. And we continue in Daf Kuf Bezum now, Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Hamascha Bayis Chaveroi, if a Jewish landlord rents his house to a Jew, Al Aseich Lassazah Mezuzah, then the tenant is responsible to put up mezuzahs. Ruchshu Yaitse, when the tenant is finished with his tenancy, then he's not allowed to take off the mezuzahs and leave. However, Minachri, Noit Lubiyadu Yaitse, however, if a Jew rents from a guy, then once his lease is up and he's leaving the home, he could take his mezuzahs. And the Braisa brings a story, and it seems that this story is going on a sefer. And then there was a story where one person took the mezuzahs off a home that he rented from a guy, and mida kenega mida, by the fact that he wasn't concerned about protecting the home, it turns out that his wife died and his two children died. And the Gemara asks, Maisa Lista, the lechayr, this Maisa is against the sefer, as in the sefer we said that if a Jew rents from a guy, that he could take his mezuzahs, and then we brought a Maisa to show how terrible it is to take your mezuzahs. And the Gemara answers, Amar Sheshes HaReisha, Ein Chinami, this story is going back to the Reisha, that if a Jew is renting a home from another Jew, then he's not allowed to take the mezuzahs off, as certainly that's causing a diminution in the Shemira, and therefore, Mida Kenega Mida, this person's wife and two sons died. And before we continue, let's point out different ideas that are relevant to the Mishnah and the previous Gemara. And Taisa Zandav Kuf Alham Beis points out, Lo Yitlana Vietze, that you can't take off a mezuzah when you leave the home, and Avagav Da'am Shmuel, the Metilim Begala Beged, even though Shmuel says that Benegei Tzitzis, you're allowed to take tzitzis from one beged to another beged. However, Gabi Mezuzah Asa, by mezuzah, it's Asa, Lefisha Mezikin Boyin Bebayish Ein Boy Mezuzah, because mezikin come into a home that doesn't have mezuzah. And if you'll take off the mezuzahs, it's as if you will cause hezek to those that will eventually live in this home. And let's see Tesis on the top of Daf Kuf Bezim and Alf, Begufta de Kanya, Mikan Nira, Kamesh Pirish Rashi Menachas, that's right to what Rashi explains in Mesech Menachas, Shemenicha Mezuzah Me'umid, that the proper way to place a mezuzah on a doorpost is by standing it straight up, like the Svardim still do, Lekach Tzarech Gufta de Kanya, Shalei Tipol, and therefore, in order to make it easy to hang, you have to use a mezuzah case in order to hang it on the doorpost. However, Avlo Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, Shemeniach Isim Yushuv, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that explains that the way to place a mezuzah on a doorpost is by laying it flat and laying it horizontally, Kamay Sefer Munach Baran, similar to the way Rabbeinu Tam Paskin and Benegei Sefer Torah, that they will place their Sefer Torah lying down flat in the Aron, V'loi Mu'umid. As the Maram explains, that Taisa's point is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, in order to put a mezuzah on a doorpost, if you're lying it flat, all you'll have to do is knock three nails into the doorpost, and then the mezuzah will be able to lie flat on those three nails, and you wouldn't need a guf to the kanya. However, Taisa's answer is v'yesh le'mesh le'tich l'malach luchas ha'kesel, that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, you still need a guf to the kanya in order that the mezuzah should not get wet and should not become moist from the moisture of the wall, and that will cause the mezuzah to be ruined. And in regard to our Mishnah, which stated that maschal bayis ravera maschal chayav b'dalos b'nagra menol, the Meiri states shem loy ra seiches habayis kaidim shesachrei, that this is only talk about a case where the tenant did not see the home and did not do a walkthrough before he rented the house, and v'loy histani moy heichis kano loy, and he also did not make a tnai with the landlord as to their expectations el shesachre stam, but was specifically talking about a case where he rented the house stama, and that is where our Mishnah states that the maschal chayav la'ab and loy losis haruah lebayis. As we explained, however, the Ritva says that our Mishnah is even talking about a case where there was a walkthrough, and even though the tenant saw that there were no doors, but as the Ritva states, it's ki'ilu hisna, as it's understood that the tenant only wants to rent a home which includes all these improvements. And the Shita brings down for Rabbeinu Yonason lefi shafu leiskaren la'acha, that even if the landlord will not rent this house to anyone else, the landlord still has to make sure that the house is secure and has doors and has locks, as otherwise it will be hefka and it will be abandoned. And shlo yihei me'aris pritzim v'shlo yitei ashpa lifanisham avodav she'ini ma'is uman nimtza she'ini tzarech habayis. If something is not a ma'is uman, it's not considered tzarech habayis elamu shudasham, only for someone that's living there mishamachi alav l'saknai, and that's the reason the tenant will be responsible. And the Braisa stated that the landlord is chayiv to open up windows, and of course in those days they didn't have actual glass panes and they just had a hole in the wall. And the writer says, even in a case that originally there were windows and then they were closed up, but they didn't take off the window frames, and therefore it's nikkur that there was a window, or if it's a very dark house and the home needs more light, then and certainly the Baal HaBayis has to create light and has to make windows. Regarding the dinim that we mentioned about a rooftop, the Ritva points out that is only by a gag, shetashmisha aroi, where the tenant does not use this on a permanent manner, vein ikas chiris boy, and the ikas chiris is not based on the gag. But of course, if the gag was part of the chiris and it was understood that that was going to be the use of the tenant, then the landlord would be responsible for these items. And Ritva is medayik by the fact that we just stated that the mezuzah has to stay in the home and the tenant cannot remove the mezuzahs. However, kol masha secha oisa b'dvarim ilu, but anything else that the tenant does and any improvements that he adds, yesh lo lichayim b'kishiyetze chutz mezuzah, he could take them with him when he leaves, aside from mezuzah. And finally, Rabbeinu Yenison points out that we've been stated last leimaika the afal pishiyesh mixus me'ilu shetzarich ma'isu uman, that even though some of these acts are things that are ma'isu uman, for example, by making a ma'ika, afil hachi asecha so shemiyetz l'shtamish begag kadesh lo yipul menu yas leimaika shem lo yehoy adam darboy lo yehoy tzarich leimaika, as we already explained. And even though we stated that the tenant cannot take his mezuzahs, however, it is machlekes rishonim if he could demand to be compensated. And Ritva explains that when the Gemara states that the Yisrael could take off the mezuzahs when he was renting from a goy, afilo bebay shiragol goy lahaschir liyisraelim, and even if it's a home that the goy will potentially rent out to a Jew, Rabbeinu Yenison explains if a goy im nichlas achrav mitzvah litla shema yitlana goy v'nigba minig bezayin, the reason why a Jew has to take off his mezuzahs is because potentially the goy will go and desecrate the mezuzahs. Inami shema urich shiur shem mezuzah yikonasham shiyisav shiyisrael dasham, or because a guest that will go to that home will think that a Jew lives there, v'yago, and the goy will kill him, or yalil of alilas, or the goy will create a libel against the Jew. And it could be that the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yenison is that even though mezuzah generally affords protection to a person that goes into a home, however, if the home does not belong to a Jew, then the mezuzah will not afford any protection. Gemara continues, hazevel shel baal habayis ve'in l'seichel ha'yetzim natanam in the karayim belvad, that any fertilizer that is generated in the chatzah will belong to the owner and belong to the landlord, and the tenant only has the right to the ashes from the ovens and stoves, which was eventually turned into fertilizer. And the Gemara asks, b'mayiskinan, what are we referring to? Ilayim b'chatzah da'agalei l'seicha v'turi d'seicha amay shel baal habayis. If we're talking about a chatzah which is rented to the tenant and the fertilizer is from the animals of the tenant, so what would give a right to the landlord to the fertilizer? And this is the pashas of how to learn our Gemara. However, Ritva points out, ilayim b'chatzah da'agalei l'seicha, that if you're going to tell me we're talking about a chatzah which was rented to the tenant, v'turi d'seicha, or we're talking about a case where the chatzah was not rented to the seicha, but the animal belongs to the seicha, so why would the baal habayis have a right to the fertilizer? The Gemara continues, elo b'chatzah d'legri l'seicha, and if you're going to tell me you're talking about a chatzah which was not rented to the tenant, and the tenant only had a right to the house, and he had a way out of the house by walking through the chatzah, but he didn't actually rent the chatzah, and it was also v'turi d'mascha, that it was the mascha's animals that created the fertilizer, and Rashi says, the kivin d'le ogrele, that since he didn't rent the chatzah to the tenant, it must be that the landlord's animals were grazing there and they created the fertilizer. And if that's the case, pshita, that is pasha that belongs to the landlord, and why would the Mishnah have to teach us the din? And the Gemara answers, loitzricha, that our Mishnah talk about a case, b'chatzah de maschah, that the chatzah belongs to the maschah, and as Rashi says, shalei hischa es hachatzah, and he also did not rent the chatzah to the tenant. However, it was not the maschah's animals, and v'turi de asu ma'al makamuba, and the animals that created the fertilizer were animals that just came and wandered into the chatzah. And the Mishnah teaches us that even if the seicha goes and collects the fertilizer before the maschah comes and takes the fertilizer, the seicha cannot keep the fertilizer as the maschah was already koina because it's his chatzah. And as the Gemara explains, Mase'el and Rabbi Yisrael B'china, and this is a proof to Rabbi Yisrael B'china, the Amr Rabbi Yisrael B'china, Chatzeir Shal Adam koina le'shalom midaitai, that even though the maschah was not around and did not das to be koina the fertilizer, his chatzah is still koina the fertilizer for him, and therefore the landlord and not the tenant will have a right to the fertilizer. And Rashi points out, v'turi da'asim ha'alma v'stam glolim afkurim afkurinu b'aylim v'kani l'chatzeri v'afilu kodam ha'secha v'egbi'en lo'izach ben, as we explained. And although Rashi explains that we're talking about the chatzah of the maschir and the landlord did not rent the chatzah to the tenant, however, the Gemara brings down from the Rambam that the same din would apply if the landlord owned the chatzah and he rented it out to the tenant. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the animals that came into the chatzah did not belong to the maschir or the seicha, and one may think that the tenant goes and picks up the glolim and is koina the glolim prior to the maschir, that maybe he would have a right to them because ultimately the glolim came me'alma, k'mashvelon, that even though the chatzah was rented to the seicha, However, the landlord still has a right to the fertilizer. And of course, it's a bit tzarech bir as to Pshat the Rambam. And Mefarshim Medayik, that the way the Rambam understood this is based on the fact that at the beginning of the Gemara, it stated, Bechotze the Ugali L'Secha. Then we spoke about a Chotze the Leigri L'Secha. And all of a sudden, we changed Lashon and we spoke about a Chotze the Mascher. And it's mashman that although the Chotze belonged to the Mascher, but ultimately he rented it out to the tenant. And now that the Gemara brought down the Shita Rabbi Sevachino, the Gemara asked, Mesvei, Im Amma Kol Metzia Shevol Techei that if the owner of a chotze says that any metzia that comes into my chotze today should be coming to me, it's loya maklum. And if the din is that chotze of a person is coming for him, so why is it not a valid kinyan? And the Gemara answers that that Bryce is talking about a chotze she'ein mishtameres. And even Rabbi Yisrael B'chlina agrees that by a chotze she'ein mishtameres, that a chotze shel adam cannot be coming shloy midaitoi. And the Gemara continues and asks, if you're telling me that we're talking about a chotze she'ein mishtameres, so let us say the seifa of that brisa, as yatzal shem metzia be'ir dvar v'kayamin, if there was a shem metzia, if there was already a room in the city that a metzia came into his chotze, and as Rashi says, shebot tzvi shav b'teich sadeu, the deer that could not run came into the chotze, oy min anah hitzav l'teich adagim, or if the river overflowed, and therefore there were a lot of fish that went into the chotze, then he would be kleiner. And the Gemara asks, v'yib chotze she'ein mishtameres. And if he explained the Brisa talk about a chotze she'ein mishtameres, ki yatz l'shem metzia be'ir, my habi, who cares that there was shem metzia in the city if l'maisa the chotze is in mishtameres? And the Gemara answers, kivin yatz l'shem metzia be'ir, since there's already a rumor that there was a metzia in his chotze, mibdul badili in shminya, so people won't go into his chotze in order to take a metzia. And as the Gemara states, v'havelo k'chotze mishtameres, and therefore this chotze is considered mishtameres. And the Gemara continues with another question, arbeis v'china, meisvei zevel yetzim natanam in a that ashes which are used for fertilizer that comes from the oven or from a stove, even if it's glolim of an animal and the tenant goes and grabs it while it's still in the air and did not yet land in the chotza, hareo shaloi, that belongs to the tenant, v'shebrafis v'shebachotza shel balabayis. However, any fertilizer that is in the barn or in the chotza belongs to the balabayis. And the Gemara asks, v'im isal had Rabbi Yisrael B'chino, if Rabbi Yisrael B'chino is correct, da'am ha'chatzeri shel adam k'edon lai shaloi medaitai, k'edon me'avi amai hareo shaloi, how could it be that just because the tenant grabbed the glolim from the ear that he could keep it, it's still considered the ear of the chotza, and prior to the fertilizer falling into the keli of the tenant, it already was in the ear space of the landlord's chotza, and therefore the landlord should be kainah. Amar Abaye says that the Brice is talking about a case where the glolim never went into the ear space of the balabayas and never was in the ear space of the chotza of the landlord, as B'mad B'kli B'shuli Par, we're talking about a case where the tenant placed a kli right underneath the animal, and therefore it immediately caught the fertilizer, and therefore he was cleaner. However, Rava Amar, Rava states that even if the kli was not attached to the bottom of the animal and the glolim actually entered the airspace of the chutz of the landlord, even so the tenant will be cleaner because it's avish in sefer lenuach, as ultimately the kli was blocking it that it will never land on the ground, and it's not considered that the fertilizer ever landed on the chutz of the balabayas, and therefore the balabayas was not cleaner. The Gemara continues, mi pshita le Rava, is it so pasha to Rava that avish ein sefer luach lab kemunach dami from ibayi bayla, but Rav himself had the shayla. The bayi Rava, as on daf yebeza ben aleph, Rav himself had the shayla. The zurek aniki be pesach zev yatsu pesach zev mahu avish ein sefer luach kemunach dami or lab kemunach dami. The Rav had a shayla in a case where someone was mafke his wallet and he threw it through the home of Reuven and then it went through the other doorway and never landed in Reuven's home. And the shayla was if it's considered Reuven's because even though it's ein sefer luach, it's considered kemunach dami, or do we say that lav kemunach dami, and therefore we see that Rava had a shayla, and why is it that in our case where a person places a kli underneath an animal that Rava says that certainly it's considered avish ein sefer nuach, and therefore it's lav kemunach dami? And the Gemara answers, hasal loy mifsik v'loy midi hacha mifsik kli, over there in a chenami it was avish ein sefer nuach as it was flying through Reuben's home, but ultimately between the wallet and the floor there was no chatzitza, and therefore potentially Rava felt that it was considered kemunach dami. But over here, where the glolim are falling through the ear and is going to ultimately fall into the kli of the tenant, then certainly that's not considered kemunach dami, and certainly the tenant is kaina and not the landlord. And the Gemara continues and discusses the brisa that stated v'shebrefis v'shebachatzah, that the fertilizer that is in the barn and the chatzah harei l'shel balabayis. And right now, the Gemara thinks we're talking about two separate cases, and we're talking about a case where the maschil owned the chatzah and the barn, and he never rented it to the tenant. Therefore, the Gemara asks, Tati, that why do we we have to say both of these dinim, and why do we have to tell you that fertilizer that is in a barn belongs to the balabayas, and fertilizer that's in the chatzah belongs to the balabayas? And even if we're going to say that we're talking about a case where it came from animals that were from outside, we still only have to tell you one of these dinim, and that tells both the dinim. Amabaya, Baya explains, hachika amah, that is what the Braisa meant to say, and we're really talking about one case, vishya beref, vishya bechatzah, and we're talking about the fertilizer that is in a barn, which was in the chatzah, hare'il shel balabayas, that even though the balabayas rented the chatzah to the seicha, however, when a landlord rents a chatzah of stomach to his friend and to the tenant, he doesn't rent the barn along with it, and therefore any fertilizer that's in the barn, even if it's asme alma, will belong to the landlord. And as the Gemara explains, Amar Vashi zoysemeres hamaska chatzir stam lo hischir refesh bar, that if someone rents the chatzah and he doesn't actually mention that he's renting the barn as well, then the barn is not included in the rental. And we learned to Gemara's question like Rashi that the Gemara is bothered why we had to give two cases. However, ayin tesis dibel mas. That's actually stewy to each other. The high shabrefis lay is to chlamisle lukufe, the pshitu the seicha bias pechata, shein le brefis clum, lay tana lamedic shabrefis labalabias, lefisha bein labal the seicha clum, al bechata shiesh le seicha bahil knisa vietzi le besai. However, the mashmais is that benegea chata, that even if the tenant did not rent the chata in order to use it to have his animals grazed there, but certainly he has a right to walk in and out of the chata, as that's the only way they could get to the home that he rented, and it would be mashma that lo yhavid the balabayas, the fertilizer of the chatzah would belong to the tenant and not to the balabayas, v'hadotani, and then the brisa states, sh'af shebechatzah shlo balabayas, that even the fertilizer that's in the chatzah belongs to the balabayas, and the Gemara's question is that there's a stira between the two cases. The Gemara continues, Meisvei will ask another question on the dinner of Beis Bebchina, that chatzah shel balabayas kain loy shloy midaitai. The brisa states, yoni shoyvech v'yoni aliyah, that if there are doves that live in a shoyvech or live in aliyah, and they don't belong to the balabayas, chayavus b'shiluach, then the chayav to the dinim of shiluach hakan. And Rashi says in Revetzis alabayim, the karina behen ki yikare prat lemezumen, the lab mezumen anu, as they're not considered owned by the balabayas. However, the brisa continues, basuris begezel m'pnei da'kei shalim, and it's also to steal the eggs because of da'kei shalim. However, there is no isek zeil m'deraisa, but Gemara is v'im isel hadam ha'beis ha'b'china, chatzeir shal adam k'in le shalim b'daitai, kari kan ki yikare prat lemezumen, the l'chari according to Rabbeis ha'b'china, that a chatzah of a person in Kainal Shalom Yedaitai, so the chayra over here, it should be considered that these oyanim belong to the balabayas because the shayvach is in the rishus of the balabayas, and therefore the din of Shluach HaKan should not apply. And the Gemara responds, Amravel, Beyer B'Yitzias Ruba, who the chayv la b'shuluach, that in a chanami, that the only time they chayv in Shluach HaKan is even when the mother did not lay the egg fully, and only rive of the egg already came out, and the only time that the owner is kind of the egg is only when it goes into his chatzar, and therefore it's still considered ki karei. And as Rava continues, v'chitani chayavis b'shuluach mikamei de tepel chatzeroi, the in chenami that we said that his chayav in shuluach hakan is prior to the egg actually falling into the chatzar and being coined by the baal bayis, and at that point it's still considered ki karei. And the Gemara is, hachi amai asuris b'shum gezel l'chari, if it's true that the owner doesn't own these eggs, then why would the Braisa teach us that you have no right to take these eggs b'pnei da'kei shalim if l'maisa they don't belong to the owner at all? And the Gemara answers, in a chenami, when the Braisa stated that imchui mishum gezel play daka sholim aimon, it's going on the mother and not on the egg. And the chiddush of the Braisa is that even though certainly an egg is something which will stay in the nest and therefore it's considered owned by the balabayas because it can't move and therefore it's considered mishtameres, however, even though the mother could fly out of the coop and go anywhere where it wants and it's not considered chotzer mishtameres, even so in a chenami there is no chiv of gezel deraisa. However, there is an issue of gezel mid pnei daka sholim, the daitu shel bal shevich aleim, the betuachu de chayzel mekayim la'erv, as the owner of the chotzer is secure that this bird will come back in the evening. And the Gemara continues, v'yibayis eim lo ilam abeim, that really I could tell you that when it says that you're evil because of gezel mid pnei daka sholim, it's really referring to the eggs, when benafik ruba daitu alau, and once rave the egg comes out of the mother, then his das is already on the egg, and even though surely you're not being evil on gezel deraisa, because the balabayis could not be claim the egg because they didn't come into the chotzer yet, however, l'maisim p'li daka sholim, there is issa of gezel. And the Gemara continues, v'hashad am Rabbi Yehuda Rav, but now that we know the statement Rabbi Yehuda name Rav, that asa liska is bebeim kol zman she'im revetz aleim, that it's asa to be mezake in eggs any time that the mother is sitting on it and any time the mother is hovering over the eggs, she'nema shaleich t'shalach ha'se'im v'hodes ha'bonim tikach loch, as the pasuk states that you first have to send away the mother and then you could take the eggs, afil tamer d'naflo l'chatzeri, then we could say that we're talking talking about a case where the eggs actually fell into the nest and fell into his chatzar, and even so, there is no problem of gezel deraisa, as the Baal HaBayis is not koina, as kol hecha de'iu matzi zachle chatzir zachle, as any time that he could be koina the eggs directly, then his chatzar could be koina, as we know that chatzar mitam shlichus, so chatzar mitam yad, the kol hecha de'iu le matzi zachle, however, he can't be zeicha in the eggs because he has to send away the mother first, chatzir namilu zachle, so at that point, his chatzar cannot be koina for him, as it can't act as a shliach and it can't act as his yad. The Gemara continues in ES, Yehochi, Asuris begezel mpei daka sholim. How could the Brisa state that anyone that takes the eggs would be Ivan gezel mpei daka sholim, as either shocha gezel alyu, as if the person that took the eggs actually sent away the mother, then immediately when he sent the mother, the Baal HaBayis already acquired the eggs, and therefore he would be Ivan issa gezel deraisa, and not only mpei daka sholim, the idle shocha, and if he didn't actually do shluch hakan, haboy shlucha, then why the Brisa state that he's only Ivan on gezel midrabonim and play daka sholim, if the Brisa should have stated that the person's Iva on Issa Duraisa because he didn't do Shiluach HaKan? The Gemara answers Bekotin that we're talking about a case where Kotin was the one who took the eggs, and even though he didn't do Shiluach HaKan, there is no Issa of Shiluach HaKan, since Lamaisa the Labba Shiluachu, as a Kotin is not Mechuy of the Mitzvahs. And the Gemara asks Kotin, if you're telling me that the case is by a Kotin, so by daka sholim, do you think that he's going to be Iva on Issa of daka sholim? He's not going to be Iva even on Issa Duraisa, and certainly not on Issa Drabonon. And the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama, the Inachanami, the Brisa means to say, Avishal Kotin, Chai Lachslo, and Play Daka Sholim, that the father of the Kotin has to return the eggs to the owner, with Play Daka Sholim. And I am in the bottom of Taisis on the Amid, Diva Maskele Tzricha Bekotin, where Taisis comes up with an interesting scenario that we could be talking about a Gadol as well. As Taisis states, Vitema, that feel a Gadol, having Matsalok Bey, Uchagon, Shinasim Yoda, a big doy, Taxa Beyim, Beshosha, Imri Vetzaleim, Vilain Skavin Liskas, Bebeyim, Adayin, the Osahu, Ella Osa King, Kadeshaliska, Balashevich, Bebeyim, Achakin, and we continue with the new Mishnah, that if Reuven rents his house to Shimon for a year, then if eventually Bezin decides that this year should be an Ibba year, and therefore it should be an extra Ada, and it'll be 13 months, so since the tenant rented it for a year, so the Seichel will have the right to that extra month, and he won't have to pay an additional fee. And Ritvar brings down that we're talking about a case where you said Shana Zu or Shana Plainis, and the Mishnah continues, if Reuven rented the house to Shimon on a monthly basis, so if the Shana becomes a Shana Muberes, then certainly the Maskah has a right to demand an extra rental for that month, as it's a month-to-month lease. And the Mishnah brings a story, and when they made a rental agreement, they said that I'm renting you this bathhouse, 12 gold pieces for the year. They also stated that it'll be one dinar for every chodesh, and then the year became an ibiyar, and it was a 13th month, and now there's a machlekes as to if the tenant has to pay the extra month or not. And we continue at Kuf Bezim Abbez, or by myself, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and this story came in front of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and in front of Rabbi Yossi, and they stated, Yachlekes Chodesh Ibar, that they will split the cost of that month, and the tenant will only have to pay for half of the month. And the Gemara begins and asks, Maisa Listar, the Lachir, when the Mishnah brings a Maisa, it's generally coming to be Meseyeya to the previous Dinim, and the previous Dinim will clear cut where they make a deal for a year. Then if it's an Ibiyar, the tenant gains, and if the lease is a month-to-month lease, then the landlord would gain, and now we're reading a story where the Din is Yachleku, and the Gemara answers, Chasur Mechsev Hachitani, that in a Chinami, the Mishnah is missing a case, and it's as if the Mishnah stated, Vim Amaloi, B'shneimasa Zuhuvim L'shana, Medina Zav L'chaydish, Yachleku, that in a case where the landlord and tenant say both terms, and the landlord tells the tenant, I'm renting you this home for 12 zuhumim for an entire year, and he then says it's a dinar for every single month, in that case the dinar will be achleku, which is exactly like the din that we just mentioned. Rashi explains that the reason why the din is achleku, Akrin, as we misupik if we typhus Lashon Rishon, therefore the tenant would gain, or if we typhus Lashon Akrin, and since he said it will be one gold coin for a month, then the landlord will be entitled to the extra month and to the extra gold coin for the Chodesh Shibar, and therefore we have a case of Bama Mutu Besafik, and Lefi Sumchas, the din is Yachleiku, and the Gemara continues, Rav, that Rav states, Yavoyasam, if I would have been there, have Yehibn Leil Kulu Maskra, then I would have paskin that the Maskra has a right to the full rental payments, and my Kamashblon, and what is the Chiddush of Rav, that Tveis Lashon Achrin, that he hold that Tveis Lashon Achrin, since the landlord ultimately said, Medina Zav Lechidish, therefore once it became an Ibishana, the landlord is entitled to the extra month of rent. And of course, even though many times the Gemara will ask on Rav, that how could it be Chaylik on a Mishnah, however, generally that is when the Gemara has an answer, but ultimately over here, the Gemara understands that Rav is being Chaylik on a Mishnah, and of course, Rav Tanahu will Polig, and he has a right to be Chaylik on a Mishnah. And the Gemara continues, my Kamashmalan, so what is the Chiddush of Rav, Tveis Lashon Achron, Ha'am Rav Chodazimna, but Rav already taught us his din, the Am Rav Huna, because Rav Huna taught us, Amri Be Rav, that they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, and the Gemara feels whenever we say the term Amri Be Rav, that we must be saying this din over from Rav, and Rav would agree to this din, and Rav tells us that if a Meicha quotes to a Lekech, Asira Me'amai, we won't get into the exact calculation, and Ayin Rashi, Diva Maschel, Ime Hossam, where Rashi gets into very deep calculations of the coinage system, but let us take for granted that Asira would be 96 Prutais, and Me'amai is referring to 100 Prutais, and therefore there's Asira between the Lashon Rishon and Lashon Achrin, and Rav explains that the Lekech agrees, then Me'amai, then the Lekech would be chayav to give to the Meicha 100 Prutais. However, Me'amai Asira, if the Meicha said to the Lekech, I'm going to sell this item to you for 100 Prutais, and then he said Asira, which is 96 Prutais, then the din is that Tveis Lashon Achrin, and the Lekech would only have to pay 96 Prutais, and therefore clearly from this din we see that Rav holds that Tveis Lashon Achrin, and why would he have to say the din again B'negei our Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Ime Hasam Havamina Prusha Kamefarish, that from that din alone we would not think that Rav holds that Tveis Lashon Achrin. We would think that Rav is explaining that when a person says that Lashon Achrin, he's actually explaining what he originally meant. And for example, when he first said Istira and then he said Me'amai, he was telling the buyer that I'll accept from you 100 Prutais, which are not very good Prutais, and they will be equal to an Istira, which is 96 Prutais. And in the second case, where the seller said that I'm going to sell you this item for an Istira, and he then said 100 Mais, what he really meant to say is that I want you to give me a better quality Istira, which is worth 100 Prutais. Therefore, from that sugya, we would not understand that Rav holds Tveis Lashon Achrin, and it's only from our Gemara where Rav says that he would have argued on Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi, and you see that Rav holds that Tveis Lashon Achrin. And just to point out that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin actually brings a raya from our Gemara where it stated Am Rav Huna Amri Be Rav, that the words Amri Be Rav do not refer to Rav Huna, who was the Ikka Talmud of Rav, and instead the Lashon of Amri Be Rav that stated in Shas refers to Rav Amnuna. And the Gemara now continues with Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel comes to explain our Mishnah, that when our Mishnah stated Yachleiku es Chodesh Ibar Beba Be'emtza Chodesh Haskinan, we're talking about a very specific case where the landlord took the tenant to Beis Din in the middle of the Chodesh Ibar. The reason for the din of the Mishnah is not because Mama Mutu B'Safik is Chalkin, but because of the din of Chazaka. And Shmuel explains that if the landlord would come to Beis Din at the beginning of the month, then he'd be able to collect the full rent, as Lemaisa the Maschir has a Chazaka on his home. And since we have a Safik, if we go Bust Lashon Rishon or Bust Lashon Achrin, therefore the Chazaka will actually determine the Halacha, and the tenant is not the Muchzik, and therefore he would have to pay the extra month rent. However, the landlord would only come after the entire month was up, and at this point the tenant already used the home, and therefore he's considered the Muchzik on his Mamani, and therefore the tenant would not have to pay. However, since in the case of our Mishnah, the landlord came to Beis Din in the middle of the month, therefore for half of the month he's still Muchzik, and therefore the tenant would have to pay for 50% of the month, but in the previous part of the month, the tenant's already Muchzik, and Hamitzi Mechavei L'Raya, and he wouldn't have to pay. And the Gemara is bothered that L'Chiritz Mashmah, that Shmuel's Mesupik, if Tveis Lashon Achrin or Tveis Lashon Rishon, and the Gemara asks, Mia Mishmuel, Leir Mina Tveis Lashon Achrin, is it possible that you could say that Shmuel doesn't hold Tveis Lashon Achrin, but Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, but both Rav and Shmuel agree that Kor B'Shleishim Ani Meichel Lecha, Yochel Achse by Afil B'Sah Achreina, that if a seller tells a buyer that I'm going to sell you a Kor for $30, then it's a package deal, and the only time that the buyer is kaina is only when he makes a mashicha on the entire korah. But if the buyer only did a mashicha on 29 sa, then either party could be chayza, as it's considered one transaction of 30 sa. However, they continue korah b'shleishim sa b'sela. If Reuven tells Shimon that I'm going to sell you a korah of tefuah for $30, which will be a sa for a sela, so there is no suffix, and with typhus lashon achrin and rishon kaina, and every single time that the lekech does mishicha on one saw, he was koyin that saw, and the meicha cannot be chayza. And l'chayra, clearly we see that Shmuel holds tefais lashon achrin, and how could it be that regarding our Mishnah, it seems that Shmuel is mesupik if tefais lashon rishon and tefais lashon achrin? And the Gemara answers, hasam time amai mishum the tafis, that in the chanami Shmuel is mesupik if tefais lashon rishon and tefais lashon achrin. Actually, Shmuel is being consistent, as Shmuel says that we have to go based on chazaka, and since the lekech was already tefis every single saw, then that saw there would be a din of a meitzim mechavei l'vraya, and therefore the meicha could no longer be chayza. And hachanami and benegay the case of a mishnah benegay the rental payments where the landlord sent to the tenant b'shnei masa zehuvin l'shana medina zav l'chaydish. In that case also Shmuel is mesupik, and once again his psak is consistent as he holds that we have to look at who has a chazaka, and since they were bar b'rem sa'chaydish, therefore the tenant was muchzik on his money for half of the month, and therefore a meitzim mechavei l'vraya, and the tenant only has to pay for 50%. Of the month. And l'chir, based on this teretz of the Gemara, it's a bit tzarech bira, as the Gemara stated, v'rav Shmuel d'armi tavayu, that Rav and Shmuel both stated, and it comes out that actually the reason for Rav and the reason for Shmuel is very different, as Shmuel is mesupik if tefais lashon rishon and tefais lashon achrin, and we go basa chazaka, and Rav actually holds tefais lashon achrin b'tzarech bira. And the Gemara continues, v'rav Nachman amar kaka b'ches balei hakayemes, that Rav Nachman holds that even if they would come to Bezin at the end of the month, since the kaka is considered b'cheskes balei, therefore the tenant would have to pay for the entire month. And the Gemara asks, my kamashmon, so what is the chiddush of Rav Nachman that tefais lashon achrin haynu the Rav? Then it comes out Rav Nachman saying the same din of Rav, that since we hold tefais lashon achrin, therefore the tenant has to pay for the full month. And the Gemara answers, afagav the apach mepach, that Rav Nachman is actually stating that even if the case would be exactly the opposite and the landlord would have told the tenant first medina zav l'chiddush, and then he would have said b'shneim asa zehuv l'mashana, that I would still be mechayiv the tenant to pay for the entire month of rent, as I don't hold a tefais lashon achrin, and I'm actually mesupik if tefais lashon rishon or tefais lashon achrin. And even so, it's irrelevant when the landlord actually came to Bezin, as kaka is always becheskes balei imedes, and therefore the tenant has to pay for that entire month. And I and the Rishonim would discuss how is it that Rav Nachman will be chaylik on our Mishnah, where our Mishnah stated that the din is yachleiku. And I and Rashi diba maschel Rav Nachman omer kaka beches balei imedes vafilu ba b'sefer chaydish kula maschel shas. Suffolk loy achshav neilud elamitchilas achidish neilud behemet kakal cheskosay v'nimsha shadab shel chaver v'tzarch lahalos leischar ayin shom, which is as we explain the Gemara. And the Gemara continues, boyim neim rabami, they ask the following shaila for rabami: if there was a deal between a landlord and a tenant, and for example a landlord rented his home to a tenant for $1,000 for the year, seicha menasati, and the seicha claimed that he paid the rent umaschra imalein etalti, and the landlord claimed they never got the rent amila havi ra. So who is mechuyah to bring a raya? And the Gemara explains the shaila emus. In what case are we referring to? If we're talking about a case where the machlekes is in the middle of the term of the lease, tanina, then we already learned to din in the Mishnah, and ilachas manay tanina. And if we're talking about a case where they're now having the machlekes after the term of lease already is over, then that's also a mafurish Mishnah. The tanana, as we learned in the Mishnah, mesechta b'chayrus mesa ab b'teich shleishim yayim b'chesu shlei nifta atchiyav raya shenifta, that if a father had a child and then he dies within 30 days, and there's now a question if the father already was yoitza his chiyuv of pidya ben or not. So the chazok is that he wasn't paid to his child, and the zman of the chiyuv of pidya ben is after 30 days, and it's not normal for a person to make payment before 30 days, and therefore the child would have to be paid to himself at some later point, unless he's able to bring a raya that his father already was paid to him and he gave 5 slayim to a kain. However, if it's after 30 days, then the chazok is that the father already made payment and already was paid to the son, and the child would have to go and be paid to himself until his neighbors say that we're certain that your father would not pay to you, as right before he died, he told us that he wasn't paid to you. We see from here that prior to the Zman Parayin, a person doesn't make payment, and after the Zman Parayin, there's a chazokah that a person made a Parayin, and therefore was the Shaila Rabbanai. And we explained that when the Gemara said, it's referring to the neighbors. And Rashi explains, and of course that's the way we explain the Gemara. However, Rashi continues, that certainly can't be talking about the Kohen bringing a Raya. The Kohen la baldina hu, because the Kohen is not the baldin of the child. As this child could always tell any Kohen, as I have the opportunity to pick a different Kohen, and therefore you can't bring me to a dintera and claim any money for Pinya Ben. And therefore Rashi says, that the neighbors told him, once the neighbors tell the child, HaMitzvah Mutal Salav, Sheiftehu Atzmai. The Gemara continues, that in Ekonami, the Shaila that asked Rabbi Anai was regarding a case where the landlord and tenant were having this machlekes on the actual day that the tenancy and the lease was over. And we know that in Tzchiris, Mishtalemes El Lebesayif, and the Shaila is, Mi Ovid Inish, the Par Biyam de Mishlam Zimne Oloi, do we say that it's normal for a tenant to go and pay up his rent on the exact date that his lease is over, or is it not normal to pay on that date, and generally you pay after that point? And the Gemara continues, Omul Rabbi Yechlan, so Rabbi Yechlan came to be Paisha Shaila, and he explained, Tanisu, that L'chayr, this din is taught us in the Mishnah that we will have on Daf Kuf Yad Alef Amud Alef, and the Mishnah over there is talking about a worker, and we continue at Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Alef, and the Mishnah teaches us, Sachir Bizmanay Nishba V'Noytol, that if a worker worked for an employer, and the employer claims that I already paid your wages, and I paid it on the exact date that it was due, so this is one of the times that the Chum Masakin, that a person could be Nishba V'Noytol, and the Sachir has a right to swear that he did not collect his payment, and he did not get his wages, and the owner would have to pay his wages. And the Gemara is medayik that really the din should be that the worker is a mitzi mechaveri and all of a raya, and he should have to bring a raya, and he should not be able to swear and force the employer to pay. However, even so, that the only reason why the Rabbanan said that he can make a shvua and get paid is because we have a svara that a baal bayis is generally tarred in what he's doing, and therefore even though he said that I already paid this payal, he really didn't remember, and he really paid a different payal, and he thought that he paid this worker, and therefore we tell the payal that you can make a shvua that you didn't get paid, and you'll be able to collect your wages. But over here we're talking about a landlord-tenant relationship, and in this case we don't have a shayla that maybe the tenant was busy, and therefore the standard is that a mitzi mechaber al v'raya, and since the landlord wants to collect from the tenant, and the tenant is kofar kol, therefore even though the tenant is claiming that he made the rental payments on the day that the lease was over, he still believed, even though midraisa, the only time that someone has to make a shvua is only in the case that the might have been mixas, but the rabbanon were misakin that the tenant should have to make a shvua sesis, even though he was kaifah kal. If the tenant would make this shvua, then it'll be potter. And let us see the ba'an tesis on that kuf bezim beiz, where tesis yes, that abaya says in parak hashutfim, of it in the shtupar begoizimne, that in the case of a loan, it's normal for a person to pay back a loan in its proper time, and even earlier than its proper time. So I have it b'chas shalei nifta, so why do we say b'negei pinya ben, that it's a chazaka, that the father was not paid to the child prior to 30 days? And tesis first states, v'yesh lema, the hasam have a time of keich l'letarden, that over there, a buyer wants to pay back a lender in order the lender doesn't pressure him to pay him back. There is not that pressure on the father, since Lemaisa he could always say to any kohen that comes to collect from him that I'm not planning to use you as the kohen, I'm planning to give the pinya ben to a different kohen. And what Taisa is still bothered, and if so, how can you bring a raya from the case of a landlord tenant relationship, where certainly we should be able to say that the tenant could claim that I already paid him, even though it was prior to the time that the lease was over, as Lemaisa, I didn't want the landlord to bother me. And therefore, Taisus explains a chiluk that would be relevant to the case of Pinya Ben and a landlord-tenant relationship versus the case of a loan. As Taisus explains that certainly a father would not pay a kohen prior to 30 days, as he still is concerned that maybe the child would die, or the kohen will already use the money prior to 30 days, and the din is that his child is not padoy if the money was already consumed prior to 30 days. And similarly, a tenant is also nervous to go and pay the landlord penyipal abayis, because maybe the home will fall down, and therefore he won't have use for the home for the rest of the time of the schir. Sefiris, and he therefore won't prepay. Or Yipel Beis Shel Maskei Atzmai Beitzienu the Amalei Lo Yedifis Minoy Kedar Minol El. And as the Gemara stated on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that if the landlord's home falls down and he no longer has a place to live, then the landlord could force the tenant to vacate the premises early, and therefore the tenant doesn't want to prepay, as ultimately the tenant is concerned that he may lose his money. Masha'in came by regular hava, it makes sense that a person will want to pay off a loan prior to this man, as we know, Eved Leivah Leishmalva, and therefore certainly a Leivah will want to get this off his back as early as possible, ayin in Taisus, and we will stop over here.